Alrighty, guys, welcome back to another edition of the Starting 11 podcast. My name is Emilio Pena, and I'll be your host. Today, it's just Morgan Freeland and Grant Rowland, the three American boys, here to talk about some soccer. We got the January transfer window coming to a close. So, you know, some squads have been last minute making their moves, very similar to the trade deadline in the NBA. One of the more notable moves that we saw earlier today was João Cancelo going to Bayern Munich on loan from Manchester City. What would you guys say is who's more of the beneficiary on this? Would Bayern be benefiting, or is there maybe a reason that City would be doing this move?
Well, City is okay. I mean, City has so much depth. Like, they still have Kyle Walker right back, and Kyle Walker is still a very good right back. So they're not going to be hurting in that position really at all, just as long as Kyle Walker doesn't get injured. But Kyle Walker's never injured, so I don't see that being a problem. And João Cancelo is a great player. I mean, the way he can dribble and beat opponents, and he's also got a bit of a shot in him as well. I mean, he could even play as a center midfield if he really needed to. So yeah, I think it definitely adds a lot to the Bayern squad. Bayern, you know, they've been dropping some valuable points this season, so a little bit of backing up on the back line wouldn't hurt at all, and it might be just what they need to get them over the finish line at the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bayern is the heavy beneficiary out of this. It just seems weird the way City's kind of struggling right now to be giving up a creative outlet out wide like João Cancelo is, because he is like very attacking. This is huge for Bayern, I think, just because, again, the creativity and, I don't know, the playmaking like modern fullbacks give you. Like, if you think of like all the, I don't know, Champions League winners recently, really dominant teams, they all have super like attacking fullbacks. You don't necessarily have to be great defending. And Bayern right now kind of struggling. That just gives them another creative outlet in that squad with like Mane out. And then Davies always seeming to be on and off with injuries. So, and that's another class pickup by Bayern Munich, as they do every single time. Yeah. It feels like they get steals just constantly, and I wish Barcelona was ran like that. But yeah, Bayern heavily. Not that it's going to hurt City a ton, because they do have the depth, like Morgan said, with Kyle Walker, but big move for Bayern Munich late in the window.
It's a little bit of a confusing move too, though, because I don't understand, like, it all happens so fast, and it just seems so random.
Yeah.
Because João Cancelo, like, he seemed very comfortable at Manchester City, and he's such a like a vital part of that first squad, you know. So when I first saw that happening, my eyes definitely like lit up a little bit, because I was like, whoa, like that, I just did that. I had no idea. Like, I just did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, from the recent City games I've watched, it seems like he hasn't been in the squad a ton. I know, I'm pretty sure he had like a really good start to the season, and then like kind of fell off. And I mean, it's Manchester City. They can afford to move off of players that quick. And like, if they do, I don't know if it's a loan with a buy option.
I believe it is a loan with an option to buy.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to be strapped for cash and out there and they got their recruitment. But yeah, the reason why, well, so Barcelona was like linked with João Cancelo, and that was an absolute mess. So it was kind of seemed like he was moving somewhere. But yeah. Manchester City, so Pep has been talking about how he wants to bring Pedro Porro back in the squad. And you figure with a right back leaving, that's what's going to happen. And now we get the text today from Morgan that Pedro Porro is close to over the line. What's going on with that?
So actually, it is officially confirmed now. It is confirmed.
Okay.
They met up this evening. Daniel Levy actually took control of the negotiations, probably because he was getting tired of the bullshit that Sporting was trying to pull on us. And they've been talking all evening, and they finally decided, I believe we paid 48 million euros in total for him. But yeah, I mean, I'm extremely excited and happy about this signing. It's a position we've needed someone in this position for a long time now. We haven't had a real good right back at Tottenham since Kyle Walker. So, you know, I mean, it's really refreshing and nice to have a good marquee signing, you know, a player that could add talent to any squad really. And especially because it came so close to falling through. So apparently what happened was Sporting had agreed terms with Tottenham, and Pedro Porro was about to like head to London to do his medical. But before he got on the plane, Sporting backed out, and they were asking for more money. They were asking for, I think, like 2.6 million extra for a reason that I can't remember. But it seems like Sporting has a bad habit of doing this. They make these the conditions, they like back out on conditions, and then like it just seems like a real headache to deal with them like almost every time. But it kind of makes sense that they'd want to squeeze out every penny they could, because at this point it's no secret that Premier League teams are absolutely loaded with cash. Like any Premier League team spends more than your average, like, you know, Serie A team or Ligue 1 team, you know, it's really hard to even compare. So Sporting knows this, and they're probably going like, well, hang on, 48 million euros gets you a lot in Portugal. So
yeah,
it makes sense that they will want more and more and more, but you know, it's just kind of shitty behavior to agree on terms. And then, you know, once the player is literally about to leave, because Pedro, he already like said goodbye to the fans. He said goodbye to his teammates. Like he said his goodbyes. Everything was pretty much finalized, and they were really about to try to like keep him back. And like that would have been terrible, you know? So Porro, he wants to come to Tottenham, which is something that is very nice to know. It seems like he's very excited to get started with us. And yeah, like I said, it's going to add a lot of creativity to Tottenham. You know, he can beat a player. He can actually cross a ball, which is more than can be said for pretty much all of our right backs. He's got a good free kick on him as well. Yeah, and left backs. Oh my God, dude. Well, I'm excited, man. We did sign Destiny Odoji from Udinese, and he's kind of fire. He's kind of fire. He's coming next season, so I'm really excited for that as well. So hopefully by next season, our fullback situation will be more or less sorted out. But he's got a great free kick. He scores goals. Yeah, it's looking very promising. Not only that, but it looks like we're also heavily linked with, I believe his name is Piero Hinkapi, a center back from Bayer Leverkusen. I'm not going to lie, I don't really know a lot about him. I don't know how good he really is. But what I do know is that our center backs are garbage. And we will take any kind of reinforcement we can get. I also know that the Bundesliga also seems to have a knack for producing good center backs. So, you know, and Bayer Leverkusen produces great talent as well. So knowing all those, I'm looking forward to seeing what can be done with this deal. I don't think it's going to get done by the time the window shuts, because I believe tomorrow is the deadline day, right?
Yeah.
So unless we pull a miracle out of the hat, you know, it'd be kind of nutty. But then, well, of course, we also got Dan Juma away from Everton, which that was kind of crazy too, because Dan Juma had already like signed the papers for Everton. I think they even filmed his like welcome video and everything. And then I believe Frank Lampard got sacked, and I don't know, Tottenham must have just snuck in and was like, hey, like one last chance. You really want to fight relegation, or do you want Champions League football? And Dan Juma was like, well, shit, yeah. What am I even doing here? And we completely stole him away from Everton. And he came up big time immediately on his debut. He scored the third goal in our win against Preston in the FA Cup. So, you know, hopefully with these new signings that we got, you know, maybe some better days are coming our way. But it's a huge, huge weight off my chest that we got Pedro Porro. I think he's going to be a godsend for this team. I'm so excited to not see Emerson Royale start anymore. I'm so excited. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Morgan,
yeah,
you were so just talking about players that were leaving Everton on their quest to try and avoid relegation. But Anthony Gordon, we talked about him last week when we were talking about the sacking of Frank Lampard. And now he's on the move to Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Everton is completely in the mud right now, dude. And also, well, they're getting a new stadium built too, you know? So, you know, like, they got this new stadium being built, which is going to cost them a lot of money. And, you know, they were supposed to get money incoming for, you know, they were supposed to get these new players, you know, and you know, hopefully some things will be turning around for them. But it seems like things just keep getting worse and worse and worse for Everton, which, you know, is good news for you, considering they're your Merseyside rivals.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, not that Liverpool's doing great or anything right now.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to transition to that a little bit because, yeah, Liverpool, man, they're knocked out of the FA Cup from Brighton, which, you know, I mean, Brighton, with their form right now on their day, they could be any team in the Premier League. With the likes of Matoma, that goal that Matoma scored in stoppage time was absolutely incredible, man. The fake shot in midair, and then to change his body shape and then just outside of the boot, just knock it in. That was one of the best finishes I've ever seen in my life. That was completely nutty. But yeah, I mean, Liverpool, it just seems like they have completely lost their plan. You know, it seems like they don't even really have one anymore. They've become completely toothless. Like Mohamed Salah is completely out of form right now. Which, you know, it kind of begs the question. I mean, Emilio, you know, you're our Liverpool fan. Do you think it's time for Klopp to go and to get a fresh face in the manager seat?
You know, there's that whole 7-year Klopp timeline where, you know, once it hits year seven, it kind of just implodes. And it's looking like that's going to be the case this year, or it's very symbolic in the sense that they're ninth. Yeah, they're ninth in the Premier League. So, you know, definitely not having a great season. Brighton's actually sixth. So, you know, they're fighting. They're knocking on Tottenham's door.
Oh, so yeah, they sure are.
They're only 5 points away. But to get back to Liverpool, I think part of it is just like you need new players, like Super Soul in the midfield right now. As you can see, based off the fact that he's not even starting, Fabinho, he seems to be past his prime. And, you know, he's trying his best, but
hey, man, sometimes your best just ain't good enough.
Yeah, sometimes your best isn't good enough. A lot of players are hurt right now. So I think the losses of like Luis Diaz and Diego Jota are really affecting the ability to put goals in the back of the net. You know, I think maybe that might be part of why Salah is in bad form. He isn't having the support he is used to with guys like Mane there in years past. And or Roberto Firmino is playing, I think, kind of gave them more space to move inside because the way he would fit into pockets. I don't know. Mohamed Salah seems to drift inward a lot. And, you know, maybe with some of these new players, they're just having a hard time.
Even, you know, just a couple years ago, you know, Klopp, everyone was talking about his like rock and roll style of football, heavy metal football. Right. And now it just seems to be more like garage punk, you know, just kind of like loose and uncoordinated and kind of, you know, noisy in all the wrong ways. Another issue that seems to be facing Liverpool right now is the fact that, yeah, you could try to sell some players, but I mean, who are you going to sell, you know? Because you can't sell Salah. He's like your best player. You know, you just got Gakpo in. I mean, even if you, I mean, you should have gotten rid of James Milner a long time ago, I think. Now it's like, you know, you can't really sell him because if you do, like, you're not going to get much for him. Jordan Henderson, this should be his last year for sure. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, you guys have been holding on to him for a long time now. And he's always injury prone.
Guys like Naby Keita are pretty underwhelming too.
Yeah, it's just like the whole squad is kind of underwhelming. So it's like, you know, if you got teams coming in to try to buy these players off you, you're not going to get that much money for them. Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing for Liverpool to do, I mean, I do think it's time for a new manager. I think it's time for a new set of beliefs, a new plan, because it just seems like what they got going on right now is getting kind of stale. And what you said about the whole 7-year timeline that Klopp seems to have with his teams, it seems like that is remaining true. The only question is if you know Klopp is sacked, who would be coming in to replace him? That's a tough question. Right. You know, you could get maybe like, I mean, I could see Pochettino making a comeback to the Premier League. And, you know, with the way that Liverpool, they like to play free flowing attacking football. Poch is very good at that. I think that Pochettino, I think he could possibly fit Liverpool's system pretty well. And Liverpool's also pretty good at bringing in the youngsters as well. I think Nico Williams is his name. Or no, I'm sorry, not Nico Williams. Harvey Elliott. Yeah, Harvey Elliott is a really great youngster for you guys. Yeah, he did. He scored a goal in the FA Cup against Brighton. Good goal. He's showing a lot of promise. So, yeah, I think you just need another manager to come in and, you know, someone who is really good at raising up young talent, producing young talent, and, you know, has an eye for scouting some players that might be kind of under the radar, you know, get some players in for cheap, believe in them enough, give them the confidence to go on and perform above their typical standards. And I think that's one of the biggest pieces of the rebuild that will do Liverpool the most good.
Grant, I want your opinion on it too, because personally, I think Klopp deserves at least one more season. We also talked about these injuries. Diaz, Shota, like, I think he deserves one more run to try and at least see what we could do with a healthy squad. Van Dijk, too, has missed some time.
Liverpool just seems like they're in a massive transitional period right now. It's kind of looking like City's going that way, too, even though they have the money to spend to, like, revamp the team. It seems like every window. I do know I've seen rumors that the Fenway Group that owns Liverpool is potentially thinking about selling the team. So that could be an issue with, like, transfers and bringing players in because, I don't know, you don't really know who's going to be, like, in charge of the club in the next, I don't know, year and a half, maybe potentially even sooner, the way how quickly these owners are buying these teams. But I just don't see how you get better from Klopp. But I do know, like you were talking about the 7 year thing, Guardiola kind of goes through this too. The way they play and the systems are like so taxing on the players. It's just hard to play like that for so long, especially when you're like Liverpool, you don't have a massive budget where you can bring in players like Pep. Just that press is just so taxing on the bodies. And I think that's where we're seeing all these injuries starting to pop up. Young players,
not a lot of rest time either.
Yeah, especially with all the football they've been playing. They're going deep in every tournament. Exactly. Yeah. And the young players, their bodies aren't built for that yet. And then those middle age, like prime kind of players, like it wears you down after a few years. And the older players, it really takes a toll on your body.
It's just crazy because a year ago, we were talking about them winning four different trophies in one season. And
right
now we're talking about them second Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, they've
it's
done
just, it's wild, man.
Yeah, they've done good business. It's just you're kind of stuck with that Barcelona, what they're kind of going through right now with, because we have like Busquets, Alba, like club legends have been there with like the Jordan Hendersons of the squad. Like he was there like pre-Klopp when Liverpool were really struggling, and it's kind of been through with them since. Obviously club legend, you don't want to just like send him off. Like think of like Real Madrid with Casillas, they were just like, all right, see, I gave him a press conference and that's it. And that kind of leaves a sour taste in like the fans' mouth and stuff. Honestly, the players around, because you're like, well, like, why am I staying here if I'm not appreciated, especially everything like Jordan Henderson's accomplished. Yeah, it's just a weird time. It's going to be interesting what they do. They need to start in that midfield and start cleaning out the club because there's a lot of guys there that just can't do it anymore. And if you want to keep Klopp, and Klopp has proven he's like a top class manager, you really got to help him out because that club just seems like really exhausted and dead and going through a rough transitional period.
I think we should go back to maybe some transfer news because Weston McKennie, he did change teams. He's leaving that potential dumpster fire of Juventus and joining his American boys over in Leeds. It's officially the United States of Leeds.
Yeah, man. Major league soccer. Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I'm going to be I might start watching the Leeds games just because, you know, the boys are on the squad now. But yeah, I mean, it's like three of some of the best players on the U.S. men's national team on this one team. Plus, you know, Jesse Marsh, the American manager. Really interesting stuff, you know, very, very progressive for the English Premier League. You know, it's just very cool to see. I've been seeing a lot of comments on social media saying like, USA is to Leeds what Portugal was to Wolves when Nuno Santos was at the club. And it's starting to be that way, you know? So yeah, it's pretty cool. And Weston McKennie is a great player too. I've been wanting to see him in the Premier League for a few years now. Spurs have actually been linked with Weston McKennie a few times. Nothing ever really seriously came out of it, but it's good to see him in the Premier League, and I'm excited to see him more often and see what he's really capable of, because I think this will be a really great, I think it's a good step in the right direction for his career. You know, a new challenge with a team that, you know, like a good mid-table team, you know, really he can really kind of put on display what he's capable of and kind of show his skills off on a much grander stage. So yeah, looking forward to it. I think he'll do all right.
Yeah, I've been in the Leeds subreddit about all season since Aronson and Jesse and Tyler Adams all signed. Just kind of keeping track, you know, how do they feel about the boys? And it seems kind of torn, just because they're like, so like Jesse, the American influence, like they're just bringing Americans over here, whatever. Which is fair. I mean, we are earning our respect kind of in the footballing world still. Right. But I think that's a really good signing for them. I think it might save Jesse Marsh's job. Leeds, they have a ton of like super skillful, brilliant attacking players to their disposal. they're struggling heavily defensively, and I know a lot of them were hoping to bring in defenders, but I think McKennie's game suits the Premier League way more than Italy, because Italy's so tactical and very positional. And as we saw in like the World Cup, McKennie's all over the pitch. Him and Tyler Adams are just going to cause havoc. Mark Rocha right now for Leeds, very good defensive midfielder. So you're going to have Tyler and McKennie for sure flying all over the pitch, getting some work done. McKennie, very good in the air. All those crosses coming in, those late runs in the box, he's going to get up there, score some headers for sure. But I do think it's a good signing, and Leeds are going to be very happy with Weston McKennie, because the way the Premier League is, I know Morgan watches every week, and Biggest League, Emilio, it's very back and forth, quick pace, and Weston for sure thrives in that. So brilliant signing. I'm excited to see him play. Hopefully Brendan Aaronson can catch some form here soon. And we got a little, what'd you call it? Major League Soccer?
Major League Soccer. Yeah, baby.
I like it.
We got a footballing revolution coming to England.
I'm just saying, Christian Pulisic liked the post, the Leeds and Weston McKennie, like, you know how on Instagram, the duel.
Yeah, I was going to say, all they need is to bring in Christian Pulisic, man. They got to free him from the jail cell at Chelsea, man.
Honestly, at that point.
Because you already know he is not going to be playing for Chelsea anymore, man. They already done signed a whole new team.
Unfortunately, this is the worst time for him to get injured, because he probably could have left at least on loan. Yeah, I mean, way Chelsea, I don't even want to get into it. Just, it's going to be the anti-Chelsea podcast here. But I mean, at this point, might as well bring in like Tim Weah from Lille. Bring in Serginho Dest, because
Ricardo Milan,
don't really want him.
Gio Reyna.
Barcelona's not going to sign him.
Gio. My God. Imagine if Gio Reyna was on that team as well, bro.
The Leeds fans would not be too happy about all these Americans taking over the club. But
I don't know, man. Think of how great the chemistry would be, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing. Going in straight with Tyler Adams. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm super excited. They want McKennie to make his debut against, who are they playing? Nottingham.
Nottingham Forest. Yeah.
Yeah, so get back on track.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's definitely a winnable game for them too. I mean, it'll be a close match, but I think Leeds I think they have all the tools to come out with a win on that game.
Yeah, with all these American players, we'll definitely be having to follow up and keep track of how Leeds is doing this year and keep you guys updated.
Quick shout out, Barcelona women's team, 50 straight, not just like without a loss, wins. No draws, 50 straight league wins.
No way.
Greatest club. Yeah. Yeah. Greatest club in the world. Oh my gosh. I mean, just breeding talent. Man. We might need a left winger or a right winger from the women to come play for us, because Ousmane Dembele is injured again, but we'll get into that another time.
That being said, we'll be back next week. We're going to break down the Champions League preview, round of 16 coming up the following week. So want to get you guys prepared and excited as much as we are. So we'll look forward to that, and we'll see you guys next week.